This is Ryan.
And this is Wayne.
And this is Kill the Rabbit Podcast, episode 16. We were just talking that you are having some issues at work. Not issues, just ongoing developments. They seem to be stacking on top of each other faster and faster.
Yeah, it's... our company is going through a merger, and we got bought out. And it all comes to a head next week. And the company has been, our company's been pushing really hard to get our numbers up so that we look as good as possible to our new parent company. But that puts a lot of pressure on everybody. So I haven't had a lot of time. I've been getting work thrown at me. Like today was kind of actually worse than typical, but it was not all that untypical. Where I'm trying to get stuff done, and I've got people that are continually asking for stuff, and everything's urgent, and so it's just really there's a lot of pressure there. I'm also obviously trying to study for this test coming up at the end of next month, and trying to make time for that.
It is at the end of next month?
Yeah, but the thing of it is, I think I told you a little bit about it. It's not like the things that you're studying are real cut and dried. It's, I guess it's kind of a little bit like the GRE that some people take from their master's program. It's like all kinds of things that you have to know. So how do you study for this?
So, or is it like collectively across an industry, and then none of it is, not all of it is applicable?
Well, it's all isolated to my specialty, but there's a lot of books that they're pulling questions from. There's probably like 25 books that they're pulling questions from.
Wow.
And
are they like mathematical? Or are they like word problems? Or
Well, because I do design, they're design types of questions. But they also, you have to be able to find answers in code books, which they only allow 3 books into the test that you can use.
Specific ones, or you pick the ones you want?
I can pick the ones, but then they tell you the ones that you can't bring.
How strange.
And so it's an interesting thing, too, is that it's a time test. And so you're thinking, wow, I got the books. I can look up the answers. Yeah, but you better know where you're looking, because you can't spend a lot of time looking for them. And I failed it the last time. So anyway, so getting ready for it, there's a little bit of anxiety there. So, and this is front burner stuff. I've got to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, the stuff with my work, the stuff with getting ready for the test.
Do they understand that you're studying for the test?
No, that's not really their problem. That's considered my problem, because they still have deadlines to meet, and there's all kinds of demands. So it's really my problem. So I don't spend a lot of time watching TV. I don't spend a lot of time doing things that I'd like to. So as far as the writing goes, today was a slim, as I look back over this past week, it was, I think I sat down one time and did some writing, which I did last weekend. But there's not a lot of time. So I think one of my goals as we get towards the end of our discussion tonight, I'm going to think more on this as we talk, but I'm going to try to find, take off smaller bites as I try to come up with some of the writing goals, and just say, maybe just sit down and say, why don't you just, you know, try to accomplish this, you know? One of them would be, okay, just reread what you've written, okay? And then just make that a goal of once a week, hopefully more than once a week, just sit down and reread with no pressure to do a lot of writing, okay? Mm-hmm. And then just see what comes from that, because I don't want to lose the edge of it. And so that would be a good challenge for me. But like I said, I don't have a lot of time. So I'm just trying to be good with my priorities.
The time, and I think you get better at this as you get older, or you have more experience with it, to figure out how to do something as quickly as possible, but that still matters. So, like, with my time, with my schedule stuff that I told you about last week, where I have morning and night, typically it's been morning. And I find myself having to reevaluate something if it's too daunting of a task. So when I get up early in the morning, if I do, and then I go in my office, I'll look at my whiteboard, which is really good. That's actually a really good suggestion for yourself, is I have a whiteboard, and it's not digital. There's something about having it be that the time that it takes you to write with your hands instead of typing on a computer, I feel like all the typing that I do for to-do lists or things like that, it's so fast that I can, I'll have to reread it and be like, wow, what am I talking about? Just because I'm not putting a lot of thought into it. You know, as doing software, I can type really fast, much faster than I can write, which is pretty typical of most people. But having it on the whiteboard and having to physically draw it and write it down, and then allocate my time like that in a much more like tactile type of medium, mm-hmm. as opposed to a digital medium, which I'm used to doing, and because so many things are digital, it can kind of get drowned out by everything. I was thinking about that today. How many notifications do I get on my phone on a daily basis? I would say it maybe below 80, but right around there.
Really?
Yeah, between text messages, emails, WhatsApp, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. I get about 50 or 60 a day. And just letting that sink in of, like, how much noise that is. Or, you know, just because it comes up on my phone, I still look at it. But 9 times out of 10, it's something that's not important. But I was just thinking about that. And so my to-do list is... it's on an app called Todoist, which I highly recommend. I think Google bought them, as they do with everyone. But having that whiteboard for me to reference and being able to see it, you know, with my eyes and it not being on a screen, something to that. I haven't figured out quite what it is, but it seems to be slightly more permanent, slightly more ominous. Like, I have to do it. I wrote it on my whiteboard. As opposed to, I wrote it on my phone and no one can see, where it's in my whiteboard that sits in my office. And anyone can see at any given point in time on both of my projects where I am. So you can walk in my office right now and look at Thursday, what I'm doing with this stuff for the system, which I'm supposed to be working on after this podcast, and then Friday morning or night, what I'm supposed to be doing on the other business venture. So the system, once again, has lagged behind a little bit. And I'm still debating why that is. I think it's probably more of the social pressure of the other partners that I have. And there are points in your life where certain things need more attention than others. Case in point, the test that you're going to study for.
Right.
You know, is it more comfortable to study for it next summer? Yeah, but it'll be gone. So this other thing we're trying to debate, or we're trying to gauge the level of... I don't know if it's reality, having a reality check, or insanity of trying to release something in 6 months and what that's actually going to look like from a workload standpoint. So I was working on that. But going back, circling back to what I said initially, I got up one of the mornings this week and I was like, you know what? I've been putting off this architecture stuff for the business venture because I've just been inundated with notifications, right? I'll boot my computers, and then what do I see? Emails, text messages, because my friends are up at like 6 a.m., so we're all messaging each other, and just learning to like, just move that out, or like drown it out, and focus. And what I can do in 10 or 15 minutes of focus time is pretty awesome if you let yourself actually do it. So I built the architecture of the entire thing in like 20 minutes and then send it out. And then that satisfaction of, I'm done now. I'm done. Not only am I done for the morning, I'm done for the night. I'm done for the day. So just constantly reassuring myself of, yes, that to-do task is difficult, or it may be something that, oh, I know I need to do it, but once you do it, then it's done. So it's just the art of breaking it down into small pieces that aren't too small, where they're insignificant.
Yeah, that's interesting. And we, the whiteboard. I thought about doing different things as well to help myself out. We talked before on another podcast about motivation. And if something's not working for you, then change it.
Mm-hmm.
Come up with something else that is motivating. Realize you're beating a dead horse. Whatever it is you're doing is not working. And so stop making excuses for it. It's not a good motivator. Change it, you know?
But I feel like our natural state is that we're lazy and procrastinators. So as me really, you know, I'm going to run more than 2 miles today, I'm just going to push it. I feel like for myself, I don't know if you feel this way too, that I'm so used to procrastinating and I'm so used to being like, I won't do it, that I feel like I beat the dead horse even more because I say to myself, no, this is just you being lazy. You have to make this work. But learning to take that step back and be like, is this working or not? Does that make sense?
Yeah. One of the things that happened this past year, I had been on Adderall for good night. This is 2016. I started taking Adderall back in 2009, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I had taken the tests for it, and they said, "Boy, you're just off the charts as not being able to focus." And I've had a history of that in my lifetime. Now, whether that's because of something that's a legitimate ADD thing or just an unfocused, undisciplined mind that never really was as focused as it should have been early on, I don't really know. It doesn't really matter at this point. But I had decided that this year would be the year, so I'm just going to get off of it and just see if it actually helped me, because the thing of it was I needed to focus, yes. The Adderall helped me to focus. That's great. I was on a minimum dosage, and it did great. But I didn't want to take for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to think that it was actually helping me. So I got off of it. Took quite a while to get through the cold turkey. But one of the benefits, you know, as I look back on it now of getting off of it, is that I did discover that I have become more disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still work not to make excuses and end up down some rabbit hole someplace. But one of the things that, and I just mentioned the thing about motivation, I really knew as I looked at it more and more, I really needed to work on the things that I was using as motivators to get me going on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, we've talked about this, starting off on what we're doing here with this podcast. I don't frankly care if anybody's listening to this or not. I'm benefiting from this, okay? Maybe you feel the same way. I think this has been a good thing because it makes you step out and say, hey, I'm going to do this thing.
Oh, well, and it also keeps you going with the things that you're doing.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about this last week. I suffer from being more of a serial entrepreneur. So I'm the kind that likes to build something and bring something and breathe life into something. But then as soon as it walks and talks, I leave. Because it's done now. There's no more complication. There's other people that thrive as being, you know, a chief operating officer where they run day-to-day business. That would drive me crazy. Like, I have to have challenge. So by nature of that, or as a byproduct or a side effect of that type of personality, my hands are in a lot of things a lot of the time. Now, earlier in my career, I looked at that as a negative. Because I would say you should do one thing at a time and you should get really good at that one thing and then that's it and then you're the best. What I've learned now is life and my career or my endeavors are really more of like experiments. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Sometimes the evidence or the research from one experiment is applicable to another one. You know, that's why I'm doing I have a business venture with partners. I have the system that I'm working on now. There's another thing that a friend of mine that I was involved with before is starting to gear that up again. But realizing that I shouldn't feel guilty for that, because I'll talk to other people and normal people don't understand what my problem is. So they're like, you have a good job. The end. Why aren't you going on vacation, having fun all the time? Why are you trying to find time to do all these stupid things that, yeah, they would make you more money, maybe, but you already make enough money, so what does it matter? But I feel that where we relate a lot is with the ADD. I don't feel that I have ADD. If I did, I honed it very early. But ADD, and I'm not a doctor, but what I've read about to give an idea of what it's like to people that don't have it, your brain processes all these things that come from your eyes. So when you're looking at something, your brain actually does a reduction, and that's how you can focus on something. Because if you processed all the information that you got from your eyes all the time, it would be just overload. You can't deal with it.
Right.
But that's how someone with ADD feels, because everything has equal weight or equal importance in their field of vision or whatever. And it's not just vision, it's sound and taste, and just your senses are much more heightened, and the stream or the input stream is so much larger, where it's hard to focus because you have all these things are happening and everyone around you is like, what is your problem? And your brain is processing all that information at one time. So your brain's ability to reduce those things down into one singularity, if you will, so that you can focus on one task at a time, it's very difficult for it to do that. But in training it to do that, you probably have more focus than most.
I've gotten a lot better. I liked what you said about essentially clarifying what the most important thing is, because that's something that I struggle with at work and even in my own personal life is priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a matter of, well, I know I really should be doing that, but I really want to do this. It's not always the case. There are times when I'm really not sure, and I have to set myself down and say, wait a minute. What's the most important thing to be doing here?
Well, coming into the game, realizing that certain things are going to pop up, and you have to deal with those right now.
Yeah.
So you have to be your own manager. And that's kind of hard. Instead of throwing everything out, which is because I'm an extremist, that's what I do. Understanding that I'm going to go into tomorrow, and certain things are going to happen. Maybe I don't get up on time. Well, then I didn't work on the system. Well, figure it out for that day. Because that's the only realm in which you can actually operate is in the day.
Right.
Right? Because you can't be in tomorrow or yesterday.
And I think that it's... I think a lot of people struggle with too many things, too much busyness. They would like to be more in the way of accomplishing things, but they don't necessarily do a good job of assessing how much time it's going to take
mm-hmm.
to make it worth your time to do something. It's kind of like, I think we've talked before about most things that are worth doing take probably anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour, probably closer to an hour in a sitting in order to accomplish something worthwhile with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going and giving 10 to 15 minutes here, 10 to 15 minutes there, probably not accomplishing a whole lot with a particular project,
mm-hmm.
Making it worth your while. Now, take for instance this thing with the test that's coming up. I've had to keep reminding myself that, okay, things are busy at work. Yes, I want to stay with the writing, so I don't want to forget about that. Is there a way for me to continue to keep at the writing, but at a much reduced scale because I can't afford not to focus on getting ready for this test. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another thing that maybe other people struggle with too, and that is that there are certain seasons, and they may be short or long, in your life in which you need to focus more on a particular thing because the window is short for that activity, you know?
But also not to punish yourself for that fact of life.
Yeah.
Like I said before, like we said last week, or like I was stating last week, it's not a straight line. It's never been a straight line. And the only thing that we try to do is to try to model them. In mathematics, it's called fitting. So you would fit, or in statistics, you try to fit the groupings to a line so that you can do some type of predictive analysis. Whereas it's always been curved. You've always had random things happen. And just the biggest issue that I've had, or the biggest thing that I've tried to overcome, is letting it happen and just saying, I didn't work on it today, totally okay.
It's okay.
It doesn't negate from the work that I have done on it, or it doesn't negate from my ambition or my passion for it. Just things happen, and that's just what you have to do. So the other thing too, like so on this business venture, right, one of my partners called a fairly sizable company that we've done work with in the past, I've used their software for and did specific software development things for companies with this software. So think like something as big as not as big as Microsoft, but the same type of positioning in a market. So our wild-haired idea was to call them and pitch this idea to them, and it's not done. Not any code has been written at all, and see what they think, because we're looking at them as like an exclusive partner to like release the product, and they loved it. They want to do it, and that's great. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But then it starts to set in of like the test, right? That now it's really on the calendar, and now you really have to pull through. And something about it coming out of the closet and into the light makes it. You're at that point, you question, I don't know if I wanted it to be this real, this early in the game.
Yeah. Because do you even know how much time it's going to take to get that product to where they're going to be able to see it?
Well, and from that perspective, it does take away from the system. But it's those percentages of time that I can spend on certain things, they'll fluctuate constantly. And what am I supposed to do? Put that on the back burner and say, no, I really want to release this for you and for this to be a lucrative move for me, but I'm so focused on giving equal time, when it's like, who said that they need equal time?
Right.
Where's the rule that says you need to spend equal time with each project? Sometimes you spend more, sometimes you spend less. If I did this and it became a wildly successful thing where I don't have to work, well, I just gave you 40 more hours.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want to. Just learning to have that, not being so hard on yourself, and that's why I've been encouraging you to, yes, do the writing, but as an escape. But at this point, because we have so much inertia on these projects, I don't think it's going to die again, even though that is the ultimate fear that I feel that we both have on the projects.
Because of the track record.
Right. Just like I said, I beat the dead horse that I should just get another horse, but I keep telling myself, no, you're so lazy, you have to make it work. And that's been some of the biggest failures in my life has been, you know, why are you looking at the equation that like it has to exist in this box when it doesn't? You're in the wrong vicinity.
Yeah.
Well, so then, I guess, weird. So you're working on the studying that's coming up at the end of next month. Sporadically still writing, which is good. Are you still meeting with the guy?
I haven't had much to say to him, and so I haven't been, but I don't want to let that die either, because he's been really a good encourager, and he might even have some ideas on my situation now. So I
thoughts are still there.
Yeah, I probably should get together with him again just to talk about that and see if he's got any thoughts about what I can do at this point.
Does he understand the situation?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I think in lieu of writing, Maybe to trick yourself, like I do the morning and night thing, which is, if you think about it logically, is really stupid. Like, I'm going to do this thing. When? Either this time or this time. What time? Maybe both, maybe neither. It's just another reminder. But maybe in lieu of doing the writing, just keeping the thoughts flowing and meeting with him will suffice.
Yeah.
I mean...
And I think something that you were talking about earlier about the whiteboard got me to thinking about, you know, thinking outside the box as far as a profitable time. I mean, we all need rest. We all need breaking away from the stuff that we're doing. But... So I'm not trying to fill every nook and cranny of my time.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about drive time, when you think about is there a time during your week? Are there times during your week that would work well for just getting a little bit done if you wanted to do that? And it's a challenge for me. I guess I have to say that because I'm...
Well, and it's not just that as much as I look at it more along the lines of there's no way I'm going to hit all those things right in a week. I'm being overly ambitious for the sake of just shotgunning it because I know if I get half, I'm still good. And I just do that to trick myself because I know that I'm overly... Either, like I said, I'm extremist. Either I'm too easy on myself or I'm too hard on myself. So that whiteboard kind of signifies me dealing with my shortcomings and how I trick myself into doing something that I don't naturally want to do.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with trickery.
It seems weird and stupid, but I mean...
But if it works, what difference does it make if it works? Just do it.
So then, so. I guess for me, work's been going interestingly. Writing is starting to appear on the wall. The project is getting reduced more and more. It's really kind of starting to look like the ship is sinking. And I've been entertaining other options, so that's going well. I don't have anything official yet, but when that comes online, I'll share that. And then I'll just really try to push more on being more consistent with giving equal parts, if it's a good choice, to both endeavors, or just be okay with hitting 10% of my time here and then 90% of the time on the other thing that may need more attention. So just in getting better at tricking myself to do that, and then getting better at the working out, because I've run a few times, but I'm trying to get more consistent with that. But I think for next week, I'll work on those things and then give an update on what's happening with both endeavors and then with work too.
That sounds good.
I think that's it.
All right.
Bye.
See ya.